We'll move to question time, and I call Senator Kovacic.
My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. In an extraordinary press conference today, Attorney General Mark Dreyfus and Ministers Claire O'Neill and Andrew Giles refused to apologise to any members of the Australian community who were subjected to misdeeds by some of the detainees that your government released into our community. Will the Prime Minister apologise to those Australians, or does he stand with his Attorney General and ministers in refusing to apologise?
Thank you, Senator Kovacic. Senator Wong.
Thank you, President. I thank the senator for her question. The first point I'd make is again, the senator is using Senator Cash's political words about your government released. The senator would know this was not a choice to release. This was imposed upon the Australian government by the High Court of Australia. And no amount of interjection from the Shadow Attorney General can obviate that fundamental fact. This was imposed on us by the High Court. The second point is this. This is a serious issue. I understand, the government understands that Australians are concerned about community safety. We understand and are similarly appalled by reports of re-offending by those that the High Court required us to release. And I do express my thoughts to those who have been impacted by the court-ordered release of this cohort. You've heard me say in here many times in various contexts that everyone deserves to feel safe and to live in safety. And that is certainly the approach the government seeks to take in a situation where the High Court has imposed its decision to release. Within a week and one day of the decision, the government had in place a visa regime with conditions attached. We had already set up a new regime of community protection, establishing a joint operation between police and the Australian Border Force, who are case managing each of these individuals in the community. I am advised also that the AFP and the Australian Border Force briefed state and territory premiers and chief ministers on Operation Aegis, further ensuring all jurisdictions are working together to keep our community safe. And of course, tonight in the House, the opposition will have the opportunity to support the legislation we passed in this place yesterday for a tough prevention detention regime.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Kovacic, first supplementary.
The Attorney-General labelled the question from Olivia Casely of Sky News, asking whether the ministers would apologise, as absurd. Do you agree that it is absurd to think that Australians harmed by these detainees may actually be owed an apology?
Thank you, Senator Kovacic. Minister Wong.
I accept that Australians harmed by those who the High Court required release are distressed and angry and upset. I accept that. And the government accepts the government's responsibility when faced with a High Court's decision that we have no choice
Senator
over.
Senator Rustin. I've called order two or three times already. I expect senators to listen in silence. Minister, please continue.
Thank you. I may have lost my train of thought in that, but I accept the response.
Senator McGrath.
I accept the government's responsibility, and we all do, for acting to do all we can to assure community safety when faced with a High Court decision which
Senator
we argued
Rustin.
Against and which required the release of these people.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Kovacic, second supplementary.
The Attorney General was aggressive and condescending in his bullying approach and response to the question from Ms. Casely.
Order.
Do you believe this is an appropriate way for government ministers to conduct themselves?
Order.
Does the Attorney General owe Ms. Casely an apology?
Minister Wong.
As a matter of principle, we all have a responsibility to act appropriately to one another. And you know, there are obviously times when all of us might fall short on that. In this place, we've seen quite a lot.
Order. Order across the chamber, but particularly on my left. Minister Wong, please continue.
We've seen in this place
Senator Birmingham and Senator Watt. Order. Minister Wong, please continue.
Thank you, President. We've seen in this place at times people behave in ways which perhaps in hindsight they might think was unwise, and certainly there's been a fair degree of
order,
shouting and aggression at times in this chamber, and I'd invite people to recall how I was coming to that, and that is a reasonable proposition,
order.
Senator Cash.
Minister Wong, please resume your seat. Senator Cash, Senator Rustin, I've already lost count in the first few minutes of question time how many times I've called you to order, and Senator McGrath. When I call the chamber to order, it includes every senator in this place. Minister Wong, please continue.
I want to respond to a serious question, and I...
I've called for order. Our minister, please continue.
To a serious question in a serious way. We should all aspire to
those
standards.
Thank you, Minister. The time for responding
to
has
behave
expired.
Properly.
Senator Stewart. Senator Stewart, resume your seat. Senator Rustin, I must have called you about 7 times. I am not going to go for an hour calling you to order. I'm asking you to respect my order, and that includes you, and it includes you to be respectful and silent. Senator Stewart.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Health, Senator Gallagher. Minister, before the 2022 general election, Labor committed to opening 50 Medicare urgent care clinics across Australia as a part of its promise to strengthen Medicare. With these urgent care clinics now being opened across the country, could the minister please update the Senate on how many clinics are open and what role these clinics are playing in the Albanese government's efforts to strengthen Medicare and make healthcare more affordable for all Australians?
Thank you, Senator Stewart. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Stewart for the question and for the work that she does in the state of Victoria about advocating for improved access to affordable healthcare for her constituents. There are now 48 Medicare urgent care clinics open and operating, with the Alice Springs Medicare Urgent Care Clinic, which opened this week, and the Rockhampton Urgent Care Clinic, which opened today. 48 clinics up and running, and with 10 more to be opened by the end of this month. In the election campaign, we promised 50 Medicare urgent care clinics, but we will deliver 58 by the end of this year. They're operating 7 days a week for extended hours and are open to walk-in patients who need urgent care for non-threatening emergencies, either for themselves or their children. And some of the results that we're seeing are excellent. 75,000 presentations to Medicare urgent care clinics just in the last few months. And that, importantly, a third of these patients have been under 15 years of age, so that we know they are working for families with children. Nearly a third of the visits have taken place on weekends, which is again something the model sought to address, the fact that often you were unable to access primary health care on the weekend, and that would result in long waits at the hospital emergency departments. And on weekdays, more than 1 in 5 visits are taking place after hours. We are getting a lot of feedback, particularly from parents with children and parents who children who have experienced fractures, about how great the service is, that they're not required to wait at emergency departments. This is an important initiative. It's working well. We're doing it in conjunction with states and territories to make sure that the primary healthcare system is supporting the tertiary healthcare system. And of course, this builds on the work that was achieved today at National Cabinet in relation to partnerships on health and hospital services.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Stewart, first supplementary.
Thank you for the update on the urgent care clinics, Minister. Bulk billing is an essential feature of Medicare. What action is the Albanese government taking to ensure that more Australians are able to access a bulk bill GP appointment when they need it? And why is it important to strengthen Medicare?
Thank you, Senator Stewart. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, and I thank Senator Stewart for the supplementary. Well, obviously the Medicare urgent care clinics are a part of this because they are free of charge, bulk billing centres for those people that patients that use them, but also working alongside of that. So we're not we're addressing the pressures in primary health care from a number of ways. The others is the tripling of the bulk billing incentive, which took effect from the 1st of November. The College of GPs call this a game changer, and we are already, and again it is early days, seeing the numbers of for clinics around the country return to bulk billing. After decades of cuts and neglect. For example, in New South Wales, in one clinic, we saw bulk billing rates in September where about half were bulk billed to rise to two-thirds in November. This is an important change. It shows that our focus on affordability and accessibility of healthcare is working.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Stewart, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Minister. How is the Albanese government further strengthening Medicare by making healthcare more affordable for Australians by making medicines cheaper?
Thank you, Senator Stewart. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, and I thank Senator Stewart for that final question. Well, building on the tripling of the bulk billing incentive, the extra clinics that we're opening in the Medicare urgent care clinics, 48 open, 10 to open by the end of this year. We have also introduced important changes to make sure that medicines are cheaper for Australians. Already this year, around 2 million pensioners and concession card holders have benefited from the decision last year to cut the maximum amount they would pay for all their medicines by 25%, which was the first wave of our cheaper medicines policy. So that's a lot of people who are paying less. General patients are getting cheaper medicines through the biggest cut to the price of medicines in the 75-year history of the PBS from the 1st of January, the second wave of our cheaper medicine reform. From the 1st of September, 4 million Australians were able to go to their doctor and ask for a 60-day script for around 100 common medicines, the third wave of our cheaper medicine reform.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Little.
Thank you. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. A front-page report in today's Adelaide Advertiser headlined, "Crime pays for released asylum seekers, albos free everything." Quotes documents released by the Department of Home Affairs under FOI that show the travel and accommodation expenses of convicted pedophiles, rapists and murderers and a contract killer is funded by the federal government after their release from detention. The documents state that if a person was located and detained in New South Wales but held in an immigration detention facility in Western Australia, if requested, arrangements should be made for that person to travel back to New South Wales. Travel may include road, rail or air, as would be fair and appropriate in the circumstances. Minister, how much has the government spent so far on travel, accommodation and other expenses for the released detainees, including pedophiles, rapists, murderers and a contract killer?
Thank you, Senator Little. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. Thank you to the senator for the question. And I'm advised that the arrangements made for the persons concerned are the same arrangements as Mr Dutton had in place when he was Home Affairs Minister.
Senator Little, first supplementary. Order. I have Senator Little on her feet. I expect silence. Senator Little.
Minister, how much has the government spent so far on travel, accommodation and other expenses for the released detainees that, as I mentioned, included pedophiles, rapists, murderers and a contract killer?
Minister Wong.
The same amount they would have spent had Mr Dutton was still the Home Affairs Minister.
Order. Senator McKenzie. Senator Cash, I have reminded you before about clapping. This is not a football stadium. It is question time. Your responses should be respectful and you should listen to the minister in silence. Senator Little, second supplementary.
Minister, if they travelled, thanks to the federal government, were they accompanied? And Minister, for how long will the Albanese government continue to pay for the accommodation and personal costs of these hardened criminals?
Thank you, Senator Little. Minister Wong.
Again, indicate these are the same arrangements which were in place when Mr Dutton was Home Affairs Minister, and the fact that you are, the opposition is again seeking to have a fight about this demonstrates that their agenda is much more. Is much more about fighting the government
Senator
and keeping
McGrath.
Australians safe.
Senator Shoebridge.
Well, thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Attorney General. Minister, the recent UK support. Sorry, my question is to the Minister representing the Attorney General and the Minister for Foreign Affairs. I think it's just. Well, then I'll put it to you, the Minister for Foreign Affairs. Minister, the recent UK support. Court decision in the Rwanda case of AAAV, the Secretary of State for the Home Department, found the courts should not simply accept assurances from other countries that a person once deported would not face torture or other serious consequences. Have you, Minister, sought advice concerning this recent ruling and how it impacts Julian Assange's case?
Thank you, Senator Shoebridge. Minister Wong.
Thank you, Senator. I don't immediately recall, and it might have been better to go to the Attorney General on this, I don't immediately recall the case you're talking about, but in relation to Mr Assange, I have made clear, as has the Prime Minister, that we do believe this matter has dragged on too long. We want this matter brought to a close, and we have made statements both privately and publicly to that effect. The proposition that you have continued to put forward in this matter is that somehow the Australian government can interfere with a Department of Justice matter or with the UK legal matters which are before the courts. And as a former lawyer of some distinction, that's unfair.
What you do, Paul.
Oh, he doesn't impress that on us. Okay, I won't say he impresses on it. That's
order.
Fine.
Order. Senator McGrath, Minister, please continue.
I'll take the interjection. You might recall his interaction with Senator. Where he was telling Senator Watt what he did or did not know. I'm sorry, I'll go back to the question.
Minister Wong, please. Senator Wish-Wilson, one of your senators is on his feet and you are busy interjecting. Senator Shoebridge.
Two points. The first is relevance, and the second one is seeking to sledge in the manner the minister does.
Senator,
is deeply inappropriate. And she should apologise.
Senator Shoebridge, the minister is being relevant to your question. Thank you.
I'm happy to withdraw that you impress about your distinction as a lawyer. I do understand.
Minister Wong, please resume your seat. Senator Shoebridge.
The point of order is those kinds of sledging from the minister
Senator
are contrary
Shoebridge,
to the standing order
your
and
seat.
She should
resume
know
your seat.
Better.
Resume your seat. Order. As we all know, this is a robust chamber. It should not be disorderly or disrespectful. I did not rule Senator Wong needed to withdraw. So I'll ask her to continue her answer to your question, to which, as I said before, she is being relevant.
As I said, the Australian government is not able to intervene in another country's legal or court processes, just as another country is not able to intervene in a legal or court process in Australia. And
order, Senator Wish-Wilson. Senator Wish-Wilson, you don't have the call. You are being disrespectful. The minister is answering the question. Minister Wong.
As I said, I'll repeat it because we have said there's nothing to gain by Mr Assange's ongoing incarceration, and we've made those
Minister,
views clear to both the UK and the United States.
Senator Shoebridge, first supplementary.
Minister, in Assange's 2021 case, the UK judge ruled Assange could be deported based on assurances from the United States. What inquiries, if any, has your government made about US government's assurances in this case?
Thank you, Senator Shoebridge. Minister Wong.
Well, I again say, and there's obviously some limits to what... We have made clear that we do not believe there is anything to be served by Mr Assange's ongoing incarceration. The Prime Minister and I have both personally expressed this view to the governments of the United States and the United Kingdom. We will engage diplomatically and we will continue to do what we can to achieve an outcome. But while we are doing what we can between governments, there are limits until Mr Assange has concluded his legal processes. And I've made that very clear on a number of occasions. I appreciate that doesn't suit the assertions you make, but those are the facts, Senator Shoebridge. There are limits on what a government can do in relation to the legal proceedings brought in and by other countries in non-Australian jurisdictions.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Shoebridge, second supplementary.
Minister, if you're actually genuine about trying to bring this to a rapid close,
order.
Will the government call on the UK Home Secretary to refuse to give consent to extradition, as that is a political decision, not a legal decision, a political decision? Will you make the political call?
Thank you, Senator Shoebridge. Minister Wong.
Well, I think the opening of that question demonstrates yet again when Senator Shoebridge is upset for other people sledging him, but is always very happy to impugn the motives of others. Always very happy. Now, I'm not going to ask you to withdraw, and I'm not going to make any other comment then. It demonstrates yet again. You are very happy. No, well, you chose. It was in your question, Senator Shoebridge.
Minister, please resume your seat. Senator Shoebridge. You are being disorderly and disrespectful. You've asked your question. The minister is answering. Minister Wong, please continue.
Well, Senator, if you're worried about me responding to the sledge, then don't put it in the question.
Yeah.
How about that? Don't put it in the question.
Bring out the glass jaw.
Senator Shoebridge?
The standing orders actually require an effort to answer the question. And again, the minister is showing disrespect to the Senate by refusing to answer the question.
Senator Shoebridge, you are now being disrespectful to me in my role as the president. I asked you three times why you were on your feet. The minister is being relevant. Thank you very much. Minister Wong, please resume your seat. As you are well aware, Senator Shoebridge, the minister is entitled to answer any part of your question. If you don't want answers to parts of your question, don't ask them. Minister, please continue.
I think the question relates to whether or not there will be political level engagement, and my answer is there is. I don't know what else.
Order! Senator Wish Wilson, this is not your question. I've called you to order at least four times. Minister, please continue. Order.
It really is difficult for you to decide who's going to get the limelight on this question, isn't it? But the answer is...
order. Order. Senator Shoebridge, I invite you to make your points at taking note. You've asked your question. Senator Shoebridge, you are not in an argument or a debate with me. You are being disrespectful towards me. Minister, please continue.
I don't know what you call a representation from the leader of the country to the leader of the country, or the foreign minister of a country to the foreign minister of a country, if it's not both diplomatic and political level engagement.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Urquhart.
Thank you, President. My question is to the minister representing the Minister for Housing and Minister for Homelessness, Senator Farrell. After a decade of delay and dithering on housing, the Albanese government has committed to an ambitious housing reform agenda to boost the supply of housing and help get more Australians into a house. Can the minister provide an update to the Senate on what the Albanese government is undertaking to improve the affordability and accessibility of housing in Australia?
Thank you, Senator Urquhart. Minister Farrell. Order, order.
Thank you, President. And can I thank Senator Urquhart for her very important question. The Albanese government's ambitious housing reform agenda is about boosting the supply of housing. We're delivering more homes for Australians who need them. The $10 billion... Well, if you listen, I'll give you the answer. The $10 billion Housing Australian Future Fund will deliver 30,000 new social and affordable rental homes. The National Housing Infrastructure Facility was expanded with up to $575 million and a commitment for a further $1 billion for even more social rental homes. The $2 billion Social Housing Accelerator will deliver around 4,000 new social homes right across Australia. We've delivered the largest increase in Commonwealth rent assistance in over 30 years. National Cabinet has committed to a better deal for renters to harmonise and strengthen renters' rights across Australia. More than 86,000 people have been helped into home ownership since the election of the Albanese government through the Home Guarantee Scheme. And we now have introduced legislation for our Help to Buy Shared Equity Scheme. This life-changing legislation builds on programs like the Regional First Home Buyers Guarantee and the Expanded Home Guarantee Scheme, which are already helping tens of thousands of people into home ownership. At every opportunity, the Albanese government has added to our housing agenda, and we will keep delivering to ensure more Australians have a safe and affordable place to call home.
Minister Farrell, Senator Birmingham.
A point of order, President. Senator Farrell did promise me that if I listened carefully, he would tell me
Senator
how many
Birmingham,
houses have
that
been
is
built.
Not a point of
and
order.
I have been trying to listen
Senator
carefully,
Birmingham.
Senator Farrell, and I still haven't
Senator
heard the
Birmingham,
answer.
Senator Birmingham, I've called you three times. Resume your seat. Order. 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 Minister Farrell, do you wish, if you've concluded your answer? Thank you. Order. Order. Senator Urquhart.
Thank you, Minister, for that answer. It's encouraging to hear the Albanese government is showing national leadership and offering support to make sure that Australians have an affordable place to call home. Some people think it's funny, but I don't. Can the minister provide more information to the Senate about the Albanese government's significant investment in the Help to Buy scheme and how it will bring home ownership back into reach for more Australians?
Thank you, Senator Urquhart. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Urquhart for her first supplementary question. And yes, I can answer that question. She knows that for Australians trying to buy a home, Help to Buy will be life-changing. Help to Buy supports eligible home buyers with just a 2% deposit through an equity contribution, bringing home ownership back into the reach for thousands of Australians, particularly renters. Disappointingly, we saw the opposite team up with the Greens to delay this life-changing legislation in this place, causing meaningful delays to renters wanting to the stability and security of their own home. I can assure Senator Urquhart that despite the efforts of the Greens, the Albanese government has helped 1,120 Tasmanians into home ownership. With Help to Buy, we will help even more.
Thank you, Minister Farrell. Senator Urquhart, second supplementary.
Thank you, Minister, for that update. It's heartening to hear that the Albanese government continues to take steps to support more Australians to move into home ownership. We know that secure and safe housing is vital to supporting Australians who are at risk of or are experiencing homelessness. Can the minister provide an update on how the Albanese Labor government is helping deliver more secure housing for women experiencing homelessness, including in my state of Tasmania?
Thank you, Senator Urquhart. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, Thank you, President, and thank Senator Urquhart for her second supplementary question. And yes, I can answer that question. The Albanese government's $2 billion social housing accelerator is delivering more social housing for Tasmanians, helping to get Tasmanians who are at risk of homelessness into safe and secure housing. Minister Julie Collins, a wonderful minister from Tasmania, yeah, has just this afternoon announced a joint partnership with the St Vincent de Paul Society to deliver $16.7 million development of 38 new homes in Hobart for women over 55 experiencing homelessness. We know that access to safe and secure housing is life-changing for people who are experiencing homelessness. This project delivers on our commitment to supporting vulnerable women right across Australia, including in Senator Urquhart's home state of Tasmania.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Hanson.
Thank you very much. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Senator Gallagher. I have previously asked questions and written to the Prime Minister and Ministers Burney and Rishworth about investigations into alleged corruption at Aboriginal Community Services, or ACS, an Adelaide-based Indigenous organisation supposed to be providing aged care assistance in South Australia's APY lands. I've had no response to any of it. Will the Minister please confirm if ACS has been placed into administration or receivership, and if not, will the Minister please identify the people leading this organisation and managing its taxpayer funding?
Thank you, Senator Hanson. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator Hanson for the question and for the heads up that she was going to ask a question around this. This organisation, Aboriginal Community Services, is registered under South Australian law, and it's not within the jurisdiction of the Federal Registrar of Indigenous Corporations. Therefore, its administration is a matter for the South Australian government. I understand, and I'm not sure if I heard your question correctly, but I understood that the Minister for Indigenous Australians had written to you, although I heard you say in your question that I think that you said she hadn't, so I will chase that up. Investigations that would be done by the Commonwealth, I think the answer is that this is a matter under the South Australian law. I do have a response from Minister Burney to you, Senator Hanson, on the 4th of the 9th of this year, when I think she confirms that in writing to you, and that organisation has not received funding from the National Indigenous Australians Agency, but that it did enter into voluntary liquidation on the 5th of May 2022. So I don't know if that is helpful for you, but as far as the information that I've been able to provide for you today, that is the advice that I have.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Hanson, first supplementary.
I have also previously asked questions about the status of an investigation into alleged corruption by leaders of the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Corporation, or NATSIC. Will this minister please confirm if this investigation has now been made the responsibility of the Office of the Registrar of Indigenous Corporations, or ORIC, more than 2 years after the investigation was moved from ORIC to the Department of Social Services because of ORIC's incapacity to do the job?
Thank you, Senator Hanson. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Hanson for the question. I understand that DSS has referred NATSIC to the Office of the Registrar of Indigenous Corporations for ORIC for consideration of potential offences under the CATSI Act. The Registrar, who is an independent statutory office holder, does not make public comment on whether an investigation into offences under the CATSI Act is underway or not, so as not to jeopardise any investigations or regulatory actions. And I also note that NATSIC entered voluntary liquidation on the 5th of May 2022.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Hanson, second supplementary.
Thousands of Indigenous corporations, land councils and charities have for decades been provided with hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars intended to address Indigenous disadvantage and close the gaps. The referendum has expose this industry and its failure, and Australians are demanding answers. Minister, when will the Albanese Labor government undertake a crucial comprehensive audit of this money and these organisations to determine why they have failed to close the gaps?
Thank you, Senator Hanson. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, there are a number of ways, and I think we've spoken about this before, where the Audit Office has tabled reports into the administration of the arrangements under the National Indigenous Australians Authority, and those recommendations have been implemented by NIAA. ANAO has conducted more than 20 performance audits since 2014 into Indigenous affairs. The ANAO report released earlier this year found that the NIAA was not meeting legislated requirements in certain areas, and these compliance systems are being put in place. This was under the former government, of course, that audit was taken. But I would also say that we do see, and across the community services sector, you do need to have in place appropriate avenues for investigations where there are allegations of concern.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Reynolds.
Thank you. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Minister, this week we learnt that a detainee that your government released into the community has been charged with 9 offences, including failing to comply with reporting obligations by contacting a child without reporting it to the police. It was also alleged he used a mobile phone service and created email, TikTok, Instagram and Bigo accounts without informing the police. This detainee was jailed in 2012 for running a prostitution syndicate that preyed on children in state care and once traded a packet of cigarettes for sex with a 13-year-old girl. My question is this: will your government apply for a community safety detention order in relation to this detainee?
Thank you, Senator Reynolds. Minister Wong.
Senator, first, oh, thank you for the question, and I think all of us are and continue horrified to read of some of this individual's offending history. And as I said yesterday, and I hope that this is above politics, everyone in this chamber and all of us want our children to be safe.
Order.
I would demur with or take issue with again the wording of your question, Senator Reynolds. The coalition, because you are focused on a political fight, not on fixing this, continue to suggest that this is a choice of the government to release these individuals.
Senator Cash, you're not arguing with me. I am calling you to order. Minister Wong, please continue.
I again say those opposite continue in their attempt to make this a political issue, use words they know to be incorrect, which suggests that the government made a choice. The government did not make
order.
A choice. The government
order.
Had... The government...
Senator Wong, please resume your seat. Senator Reynolds.
Thank you, President. On point of order of relevance, well over a minute into the answer, the minister has come nowhere near answering the very specific question if the government will apply for a community
Senator
safety
Reynolds,
order.
Thank you, Senator. There was a preamble to your question and the minister is being entirely relevant to the question. Minister Wong.
Thank you. And I again make the point, Senator Reynolds chose in her question to use a form of words that Senator Cash and others have used in an attempt to politicise this issue and to suggest that it is a government's
order.
Choice.
Order.
It is not a government's choice. This decision was imposed on us by
Senator
the High
Ruskin.
Court.
Minister Reynolds. Minister, please resume your seat. Senator Reynolds.
Again, on a point of order, it was a very specific question and the minister has 24 seconds less. And it was a question, will they be applying for the order? And
Senator
the
Reynolds,
minister has
Senator
come
Reynolds,
nowhere within Kiwi of asking
not a time
the
for
question.
You to make a debate with
I was
me.
Very,
Resume
President,
your seat. President. Resume your seat. Senator Reynolds, you are disobeying my request. The point of order was exactly the same as the point of order you made before. The minister is... Order! 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 Do not interject against me. A senator has a right to call a point of order. It's a short, sharp request. It is not a statement. I didn't ask you to re-litigate the question. The point of order was exactly the same as the one you made before, and my ruling is exactly the same, and that is the minister is being directly relevant to your question. Minister Wong.
Thank you. And now that the parliament will set, when these laws are finalised in the parliament, the parliament and the government would have fixed the mess which Mr Dutton left, and these detention orders can be sought.
I'm waiting for order. I'm waiting for order. Order. Senator Reynolds, first supplementary.
Well, thank you, President, but given the complete lack of accountability to the people in the community who will now want to know whether this community safety order has been granted, I've got a second question, but I suspect that the minister will not answer this one either. So the question is this. Minister, last week we learnt that another detainee your government released into the community has been charged with indecently assaulting a woman in South Australia. He was a convicted sexual predator who was once labelled by a judge as a danger to the community. Will there be a community safety
you,
order
thank
on
you,
this
Senator
one?
Thank you, Senator Reynolds. The time for asking the question has expired. Minister Wong.
First, I again say the opposition continue to formulate their questions in a way that seeks to attribute more politics to this. I again say to the senator, and she might want to consider her final supplementary, that the decision of the High Court was imposed on the government. The government did not make a choice. The government did not make a choice to release others.
Senator Cash.
And I understand that in their attempt to...
Minister, please resume your seat. Order across the chamber. Order. Order. Senator Reynolds.
Get a point of order on relevance. My question was very clear about whether they'll apply a community safety detention order. It was very, very clear. And again, the minister is refusing to be accountable
Senator,
to the community
Senator
in
Reynolds,
South Australia.
You are now, getting into argument
criminal.
And statement. Your point of order also referred back to the primary question, and the minister is entitled to ask to answer the whole of the question, including the comments you made in the opening statements. And the minister is being entirely relevant. Minister Wong. Order. 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 Minister Wong. Thank you, Senator Wish-Wilson. Order. Order. Across the chamber. Minister Wong. Yep, Minister Wong.
My apologies. Thank you. I again make the point. The Parliament has, or will by the end of today, I hope, have resolved not one but two of Peter Dutton's laws which were found to be unconstitutional. Two that were found to be unconstitutional, and that will ensure that ministers can make decisions as appropriate under a constitutionally effective regime.
Thank you, Senator Wong. We're not there yet, Senator Thorpe. Minister Wong, I do remind you to refer to others.
Dutton.
Thank you. Senator Reynolds, second supplementary.
Thank you very much, President. When will the first community safety detention order be sought by your government, and how many detainees has the government determined to seek orders over, including those subject of my first two questions?
Thank you, Senator Reynolds. Minister Wong.
Thank you. I would make the point, and this demonstrates yet again that those opposite want to fight, not fix, that the opposition was specifically briefed on the risks associated with prejudicing a case by talking about specific individuals. But despite that, they have continued to ask questions in this case. You were specifically briefed. It really demonstrates that you are much more interested in making political points and fighting than fixing this.
Minister Wong, order. Order. I have Senator Reynolds on her feet. Senator Reynolds.
Again, a point of relevance. 30 seconds in, and the minister again for a third time has not come close to answering a question without a preamble. And the minister is now inferring that this
Senator
question
Reynolds,
is out of order.
Senator Reynolds,
and the question, I believe, is not
of
out
order.
Of order. A sequel ruling.
I've asked you a couple of times not to go into a long statement. The minister is being relevant to your question and explaining and in what circumstances the question can be answered, Minister Wong.
No, Senator, through you, President. Senator, I'm not inferring the question is out of order. What I am asserting is you have been briefed on the legal prejudice which might apply to matters when you deal with specific individuals in this way. And secondly, that if you really cared about people being safe,
Minister
you would not
Wong.
Prejudice applications
Minister
for detention
Wong,
orders in this
seat.
Way.
Minister
if you really, ca- would, if you really cared
Wong,
about people being safe, you would not...
Seat. Minister. Senator Reynolds.
Given that the minister has now not answered three questions in a row, and now the minister...
Senator Reynolds,
is a point of order... is like a ruling on what the minister has just said, because she has clearly indicated that this is out of order, which is why she's not answering it. So can I seek your ruling
Senator Reynolds, why the minister is saying she cannot answer it?
Because
okay, please resume your seat. As you know, it's not the role of the president. I can't put words into the minister's mouth. I can't direct the minister to use particular words or phrases. I have to listen to the whole of the minister's answers, and the minister has been relevant. She may not be giving you the answers you want, but the minister is being relevant. She was relevant to your primary, your first supplementary and the second supplementary, Minister.
I'm not inferring the question is out of order. I'm directly stating that prejudicing an application is not what you would do if you cared about community safety. I am absolutely
Thank
stating
you, Minister.
That.
Senator Thorpe.
Thank you, President. My question is for the Minister representing the Attorney-General, Minister Watt. This morning, your government voted down my private senator's bill to establish a legislative pathway to implement the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, the UNDRIP. Is the government committed to enshrine the UNDRIP into Australian law at a later stage, maybe?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Minister Watt.
Thanks for the question, Senator Thorpe. As you're aware, we actually had a discussion about this last week in the context of Senator Dodson saying farewell to this chamber. And I want to acknowledge the fantastic work of Senator Dodson as the chair of the Joint Standing Committee on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs.
Senator Watt, please resume your seat. Senator Thorpe, before I come to you, you don't need to wave your arms around. Senator Thorpe, you're not in a debate with me. Senator Thorpe.
Thank you, President. Relevance is my point of order. It's not a speech, a farewell speech. It's basically a question about do you...
Yes, Senator Thorpe, you don't need
to... I don't need a speech, a farewell speech. I heard that the
Senator
other day.
Senator Thorpe, please resume your seat. The minister is referring to the report which was released last week, which is going to the matters that you referred to. Minister Watt, so the minister is being relevant. Minister Watt, please continue.
Thanks, President. And Senator Thorpe, I can assure you I am not giving a farewell speech. I was reflecting on the farewell speech given by Senator Dodson
Order.
Last week,
Order.
Talking about the report presented by the Joint Standing Committee on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs.
Senator Watt, please resume your seat. Order. This is Senator Thorpe's question. She has the right for the answer to be heard in silence. Minister Watt.
Thanks, President. And Senator Thorpe, as you're aware, the report of the Joint Standing Committee on the inquiry into the application of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples in Australia made a number of recommendations, which the government is now considering. The report included contributions from experts, organisations and community members alike.
Minister Watt, please resume your seat. Senator Thorpe.
Point of order, relevance. Once again, it was my inquiry. I was there for the inquiry. My bill, my question
Senator
to the
Thorpe,
point...
Senator
is
Thorpe,
when
Senator
is the
Thorpe,
government going to enshrine
Thorpe,
our rights in this
Senator
country?
Thorpe, resume your seat. Resume your seat. You've made your point of order. Senator Thorpe, you are directing your response to me. Senator Thorpe, if senators are out of order, I will call them to order. Minister Watt, I draw you back to the question and thank you.
Thanks, President, and thanks, Senator Thorpe. I actually just said, Senator Thorpe, that the government is considering the recommendations of that report, which go to the matters that your bill was concerned with. It was the very spirit of the principles that underpin the declaration that mean that we as a government will ensure that we take the time to engage and consult with First Nations peoples in a deliberate and meaningful manner to help inform our response to the recommendations. To do otherwise would be entirely
Senator
inconsistent
Thorpe.
With the very principles of the UN Declaration. We must take the time to get this right. The report had some very important recommendations given in relation to the rights of First Nations people. I think our government has shown a very firm commitment to the rights of First Nations people in Australia, and we intend to back up that commitment through
Senator
properly
Watt,
considering this report.
Your seat.
I've
Senator
actually finished
Thorpe.
My answer anyway.
The Senator has, Senator Thorpe, the Minister's indicated to me he's concluded his answer. So I'm asking you to put your first supplementary, please.
With all due respect, President, in terms of process, I was standing.
Senator Thorpe, please resume your seat. Senator Thorpe, I am managing the chamber. Senator Hanson, resume your seat. Senator Thorpe, withdraw that comment. I'm asking you to stand and withdraw that comment. Senator Thorpe, I'm asking you to withdraw that comment.
Due to the colonial powers and oppression,
I
withdraw
Thorpe,
the comment.
Senator Thorpe, that's not acceptable. I would ask you simply to withdraw the comment.
I simply withdraw the comment.
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Senator Hanson, were you standing? Thank you. I would ask all senators, every senator in this place has the right to ask their question, and they need to be heard in silence, and they need to be heard with respect. That goes for every single person in this place. Senator Thorpe, the minister had indicated you can't call a point of order once the minister has concluded. I'm inviting you to make your first supplementary.
Thanks, President. Given there is no legislative commitment, can you please outline the pathway through which the government intends to implement UNDRIP fully?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Minister Watt.
Thanks, President, and thanks, Senator Thorpe. Well, of course, I'm not in a position to provide a specific timeframe for the implementation of that declaration because, as I've said, the government is now considering the recommendations of the Joint Standing Committee that made recommendations on this matter. And as I've said in my answer to the previous question, we intend to consult with First Nations peoples in a deliberate and meaningful manner to help inform our response to the recommendations. Well, I take the interjection of shame. I hardly think it's shameful to consult with First Nations peoples about the implementation
Order.
Of these recommendations.
Order.
And frankly, Senator Thorpe, I'm surprised that you
Senator
think
Thorpe.
It's shameful that we would consult with First Nations peoples. I think that is exactly the right approach for us to take. And that is the way that we will ensure that delivering on the recommendations of this report actually respects the rights and interests of First Nations people, and I'd like to think that you would support that.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Thorpe, second supplementary.
Thank you. The government recommended the development of a national action plan to implement the UNDRIP in the recent committee report. Will the government progress the development of such a national action plan in this term of government?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Minister Watt.
Thanks, President, and thanks, Senator Thorpe. Well, as I say, we are now considering the recommendations of that report, and one of them is the issue that you've referred to. And I've said repeatedly through my answers that we intend to consult on these matters. We aren't in a position to provide a timeframe for them. We do take them seriously. I think this government's got an excellent track record on delivering for the interests of First Nations peoples, and that's why we want to take this matter seriously as well.
Thank you, Minister Watt. Senator O'Neill.
Sure, President. And my question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Today in Canberra, National Cabinet met and made important progress on key reforms. Can the Minister outline to the Senate how the Albanese government is working with states and territories to deliver for all Australians? In particular, what's being done to strengthen our health system?
Minister Wong.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator O'Neill for the question. And I'm very pleased to reflect the announcement of National Cabinet here today, an example of the Federation working for Australia and, most centrally, of the government working with other governments to ensure a better health system for all Australians. National Cabinet made important progress on key reforms to strengthen Australia's health system, to secure the future of the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and on keeping Australians safe. When it comes, we are working together, Premier, First Ministers and the Prime Minister for Australia in the common interests of all Australians. National Cabinet had agreed that the top priority for 2023 was health. And I'm pleased to again communicate the National Cabinet decision to a further $1.2 billion package to strengthen Medicare. A further $1.2 billion so of strengthening Medicare measures, which are all about taking the pressure off our hospitals. At the Commonwealth, the Albanese government is boosting funding for Medicare urgent care clinics and supporting older Australians through avoided hospital admission and early discharge from hospital. We are focused on delivering reforms that ensure the entire health system is more integrated, more equitable, more efficient and more sustainable. Of course, these measures are on top of the measures that the Albanese government is already doing. These are include cheaper medicines, urgent care clinics and investment in bulk building, a stark contrast to the shameful legacy of cuts and mismanagement by the coalition.
Thank you, Minister Wong. Senator O'Neill, first supplementary.
Thank you. Thank you for your response, Minister Wong. Now, could you also please explain how is the Albanese Labor government working to secure the future of the National Disability Insurance Scheme?
Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. Thank you to the Senator for her question and for her interest in this very important area and difficult area of public policy. We know that the NDIS has delivered life-changing supports to thousands of Australians. It is pleasing to see that all Australian governments are committed to providing equity and fairness for Australians living with disability. National Cabinet acknowledged the need for reforms to secure the future of the NDIS, ensuring it can continue to provide life-changing support not just today but to future generations of Australians with disability. So governments will work together to implement legislative and other changes to the NDIS to improve the experience of participants, to restore the original intent of the scheme, to support people with permanent and significant disability with a broader ecosystem of supports. The National Cabinet agreed to jointly design additional foundational supports together, working together to ensure a strong and sustainable NDIS for years to come.
Senator O'Neill, second supplementary.
Thank you, Senator Wong, and I know how much that's going to mean to people in community. I note also National Cabinet has agreed to the most significant improvement in Australia's firearms management system in almost 30 years. How is the government working to keep Australians safe?
Minister Wong.
Thank you. As National Cabinet reflected, we are marking the anniversary of the police shooting at Wyambilla, and this week the funeral was held for Brevet Sergeant Jason Doig, killed in my own state, South East. Today, National Cabinet agreed to implement a national firearms register. This is a reform that has been outstanding for too many years. One of the reforms outstanding from the Port Arthur massacre response in 1996, which I acknowledge was one of the great examples of bipartisan support for new regulation in this country in order to keep Australians safe. The agreement struck today represents the most significant improvement in our firearms management system in almost 30 years, and it will keep Australia's first responders and communities safer. The register will address significant gaps and inconsistencies, and we have agreed to work together to ensure it is fully operational within 4 years.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Wong, I'll come to you, but leaders get preference. Senator Birmingham.
Thanks, President. Point of order. It was not quite yet 3 p.m. when Senator Wong's answer concluded. Senator Macdonald was on her feet at that point in time.
Thank you.
Of the clerk, via you, President. I thought it.
Order.
You know, sometimes it's possible to be gracious. Actually, if you list, let me
Senator
finish.
Senator Macdonald, just resume
Thank
your
you.
Seat, please.
If the clerk advised to the president is that it was too early, of course I will not seek the question time close. I'm always try to be reasonable on that front.
So the clerk's advice is that we are a few minutes before, before 3, so Senator Macdonald.
Thank you very much, President.
My question, Senator Macdonald, please resume your seat. I would expect Senator Macdonald to be given the courtesy of all senators in this place and to be asked her question in silence. Senator Macdonald.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Gallagher. Today's national accounts have shown middle Australia is being crushed due to Labor's failure to manage the economy. Can you confirm that today's national accounts show that over the past 18 months, mortgage interest payments have almost tripled, income taxes paid by households have risen by 27.3%, and in the last year, real household disposable income has fallen by 6.6%.
Thank you, Senator Macdonald. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, and I thank Senator Macdonald for the question. And what she fails to say also is that the economy grew by 0.2% in the September quarter to be 2.1% higher throughout the year. So I think that is worth acknowledging. But we accept that as the economy
Order.
Slows and with the interest rate increases that we've been seeing, that is putting households under pressure, including and particularly those with mortgages, which is why our fiscal strategy has been to, and our government's responsibility has been to ensure that we fix the budget, that we restrain spending, that we don't make the job of the Reserve Banks harder, and that we help against the fight of inflation. And that's been our fiscal strategy. It's a strategy that's being endorsed by a number of organisations as the right approach to take at the moment. And one of the points that Senator Macdonald raises in her question is that tax revenues are up. Well, that is primarily a result of more people in work and wages growth. So more people in jobs, more people earning more. And if you're earning more and you've got more people in work, you will see increases in tax receipts.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Macdonald, first supplementary.
Is it correct that today's national accounts show Australia is in a prolonged GDP per capita recession, meaning that Australians are poorer per person under the Albanese Labor government than they were last year?
Thank you, Senator Macdonald. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. And we do see the per capita numbers jump around a bit. I think in the last 200 releases, 48 of them have seen a dip in those numbers. So I don't think that is surprising at all. I think the things that we should be focusing on for the economy overall is that the economy continues to grow. That is a good outcome. That we're seeing record low unemployment, we're seeing the beginnings of wages growth, we're seeing high participation rates, we're seeing the gender pay cap close, We have delivered a surplus against the deficit that we inherited, and that inflation is peaked and moderating.
Senator Macdonald, second supplementary.
Given today's national accounts have shown productivity has fallen 6% over the past 18 months, while prices have risen by more than 9%, will the minister concede that Australians are paying the price for a government that is distracted, out of its depth, on managing the economy?
Thank you, Senator Macdonald. Minister Gallagher.
The answer to that is no, and I find it a bit rich coming from those that oversaw the slowest productivity growth over a decade in 60 years.
Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. I ask that further questions be placed on notice.
Thank you.